Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57. There's six verses. Three different incidents in these six verses. Three individuals, each one given two verses each. They come on to the scene quickly and they leave just the same. We don't know what happens beyond this. It's mere speculation. But the message that the Lord gives is amazing. If I ask all of you today what you'll get out of these verses, everyone would have something different to say. It's somewhat like a young student come to the pastor at the close of the service after that he had preached on the return of Jesus Christ. And the student says, "I can't get that out of Scripture." And he said, "I know you can't. It's there to stay." There's some things you can't take away from the Word of God. You just can't change it. It is wonderful to see all of these people that are coming to Christ. Now understand what I'm about to say. Salvation is absolutely 100% free. It costs you nothing. You don't have to put anything in the offering to be saved. You don't have to go through some kind of ritual to be saved. You don't have to follow a certain church to be saved. Salvation within itself was paid for by Jesus Christ. And if we could be saved any other way, then He would not have had to have come. But the fact that He did come and pay such a supreme sacrifice to pay the debt that He did not owe for our sin to be taken away. Our salvation cost us nothing as far as materialism goes. But discipleship, on the other hand, is costly. The failure of the church in the world today oftentimes is not to stress salvation. It is to stress the importance of discipleship. For once you are saved, it costs you something to serve the Lord. There's a price that you have to pay. And oftentimes people like to look at it as though, well, once you come to Christ, you'll never have another burden, you'll never have another trial, there'll never be another heartache, that, you know, it's just going to be easy sailing the rest of your life. But that's not true. You'll find yourself in situations where you'll be hated for His name's sake. You'll find yourself in places at times where the people will reject you merely because of the fact that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll say, "You're judging me." Well, truth of the matter is, I'm not judging you, but it's just this simple. There's some things, if you get it and you get it right, there will be a difference. There will be a desire that you did not have before you met the Lord. Once you meet Christ, there's a desire to do things. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen instantly. It'll be a process of your whole life seeking after the things of God. Today when I come into the pulpit, my heart's desire is, "Lord, I don't want to preach the wrong message. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want the mind of God, the heart of God for this service today." Because there's needs that'll be present here in the lives of people that maybe tomorrow will be too late, or next week could be too late. And that's why today is so important. But just as sure as the preacher seeks the will of God for what he's to do when he preaches the Word of God, it's the same for someone that sings a song. It's the same for someone as they teach a lesson. It's the same for someone as they witness. Somebody called me this week and said, "There is an unsaved individual and I'm going to visit them and just pray that I don't say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing." I understand that. They're wanting to be used of God, and they know salvation doesn't hinge on them, but they know they want to pay the right price. They're willing to do what it takes to be effective in telling someone else about Jesus. With that in mind, let's read in verse 57, Luke chapter 9. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, 'Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Three people challenged by three different perils to their discipleship. They all had a desire to follow the Lord, but there was something in their life that hindered them from following the Lord completely. The first one had to deal with the uncounted cost. He said, I'll follow you wherever. As long as you lead me, I'll go. But Jesus gave a strange reply to that. He says, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, yet the Son of Man hath not a place where to lay his head. What he was saying is, he said, this isn't easy. Have you counted the cost of following me? At that time, it cost them their home. It cost them everything to follow the Lord as a disciple of the Lord. Not to be saved, but to follow the Lord as a disciple of the Lord. And a lot of folks really don't want to count the cost. It's called personal commitment. A time in your life where you're saying, Lord, I am willing to pay any price. I am willing to do anything. I am willing to go anywhere. I don't care what it costs me. I am willing to pay the price to be your disciple. Most folks will follow the Lord for a season. They'll follow the Lord while it's even good. Times are happy. But when it comes to following the Lord, when there's a price to be paid, oftentimes they want to stop then. I think so often of people that come to me and they say quite frequently, I'd love to do what you do. But all they see is the services like today. See, they don't see a week that is filled with people with broken hearts and shattered dreams. They don't see lives that have been destroyed by sin. They don't see bodies that are racked with pain. They don't see any of those things when you get inside of a service like this. But outside the walls of this church, there's a lot of people that are going through hard times and they have heavy loads on them. But yet they are willing to pay the cost and pay the price to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And might I say this, regardless of what you pay to serve the Lord, you will be rewarded. And there's a payday at the end of the road. And God keeps record of all of it. And one day God said, I'll reward you for the price you pay. Not only was there the uncounted cost, there was the unburied corpse. It's not the fact that the Lord was being cruel here, saying this man didn't have a right to bury his father. The Lord knew that that was the excuse, but in reality there would always be something that needed buried. So he said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. There'll always be something there if you're not careful that the devil makes sure it's dying, it's rotting, it's destroying your life, and it'll affect you in your discipleship. But you've got to bury it. Now, I think when we look at it in the natural sense, we could really have a problem with this text. But I think that there is a spiritual lesson being taught here. There's some things you just got to bury it. There's people here in this sanctuary this morning that even though they come to church, there's things in their life that they should have buried years ago. They should have done away with it years ago. Somebody told me one time, said, well, I forgive them, but I'm not going to forget about it. They have grudges against people. Some of you, you still have teachers that you had in school that you didn't like things they did to you. And you're still holding grudges against them. And you're 50 and 60 years old now. Get over it. I hear people all the time say, well, someone came through town and preached a message that I didn't agree with. And I felt like they singled me out. You just need to get over it. You need to bury it. Some things in your life, even as a believer, I'm preaching to believers now. There's things in your life that you've got to bury. I think it's fine to remember where you came from. I think it's wonderful to look back and remember what you were before you met the Lord. But don't live in that life. It is a testimony that God has brought you from somewhere to where you are. But you can get so absorbed with the fact of what you were that you will forget what you are. And you'll start living a subnormal life spiritually because you are overwhelmed with your past. You cannot change your past. You cannot go back. God doesn't give you a redo button to go back and say this is all you have to do, or an undo button to say that it never happened. It did happen. It's called sin. We've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. And there's some folks that they're so attached to that past. And we've all got a testimony. I'm not talking about our conversion experience. But I hear people oftentimes almost gloat in how mean they were and how wicked they were and how terrible they were. Well, someone said, that's just because that you didn't do things like that. How do you know that? That just means I don't praise the devil for the life I lived in sin. I praise God for what I am now. When I came to the Lord, hallelujah, He changed my life and made me a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Too many people have unburied corpses in their life. Kind of like Michael Jackson, I wonder when they're ever going to plant him. I read an article in the paper several months ago. Some of you might have seen that, where they arrested the gentleman that had kept his mother's corpse for months in his home. She had died, and he kept her corpse there. He kept collecting her Social Security checks and cashing the checks. Didn't want to report her as dead. But that didn't make her any more alive. I thought, can you imagine living with a corpse in your house? And then the Lord seemed to speak to my heart and said, that's nothing, Cal. There's churches that live with corpses in the pulpit. There's corpses in the pews. I believe there's beginning to become an odor in the church community because there's too much dead, lifeless worship in the world today. And the reason that much of that exists, you can say what you want, it's because people have not paid the price. Yes, it's true that there's battles out there and there's challenges out there. But isn't it amazing that we can get inside of the house of God this morning and just one or two songs and one or two testimonies, and suddenly we leave this world of cares and sorrows and sail into the heavenly, and there in the throne room we're able to worship God and praise Him for what He has done. There are corpses in your life you need to bury. The corpse that is attached to the individual is part of the Roman punishment to prisoners. They would take corpse, attach them to a living prisoner. While they decomposed, they carried a corpse with them. Why? Because the dead would suck the life out of the living. The devil loved to hang some things on your back. Keep them there and keep them there and keep them there. When are you going to understand the power of God to change your life completely and take all your sin away? The Then the last one said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Wonder why they weren't with the Lord. He said, I'll follow you. There's some people that will never make a good disciple because of unbroken circles. They cannot break the ties. The ties that bind them down to keep them from really being effective for the Lord. There's some people that they put their family before church. Now, thank God for I've been blessed with a great family. I've been blessed with a wonderful family. And we have oftentimes in our family, Candy and I and our family, there's some of them that they feel like that their family is first and God is last. Boy, I don't hear none of that shout now. You love your family, but you still can't put your family before God. There's a lot of folks I know that I can just count on. When your family comes to town, you're not coming to church. I guess you get enough church the rest of the time that when family comes, then you don't have to come anymore. Well, I can't leave them at home alone. Are they thieves? If so, tell them, if you don't mind, I'm going to church and I don't trust you in my house. Would you kindly leave until I get back? Come on, who are you kidding? It becomes an excuse. A convenient excuse. And for the life of me, I don't understand when your family comes to town and they profess Christianity, whether they go here or somewhere else, I don't know why they're not in church. I better close up shop quick here. There's a lot of folks that they get to the place that they feel like, well, I don't want to send the wrong message to my family. How are you sending the wrong message to your family by telling your family that you love Jesus? That's the family that's what your family needs to hear. There's people today all across this country that are not in church because of family that has persuaded them that that relationship is more important than the relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is, I love my family enough to love the Lord, to put Him first, so that my family can come to the Lord, and then we get to be together forever in a wonderful place called heaven. I love my family enough to want to take my family to heaven with me. Anyone here in this congregation that has had a past of addictions, they will tell you the number one thing you have to retrain yourself to do, the number one thing, you have to break the circle of old friends that were the suppliers and the providers to the sinful lifestyle that you'd had. And until you revamp your situation and your environment, and until you associate with people that are doing things that are right to encourage you in the right you're doing, you'll always be vulnerable. It'll be a constant fight in your life to fall back into the same things that you used to be involved in. That's why your commitment to the Lord should be strong enough to say, I want to be a disciple of the Lord. I want to be faithful to God. So I'm going to be found in God's house. Your life will be molded by somebody. I heard a great preacher say one time, we are all born originals, but we die a copy. What was he saying? In your life, you will be influenced by others. So choose your friends wisely. Choose your companions wisely. You say, well, preacher, my goal is to build this person up. But be careful. It can be easy and become easy for them to pull you down. Your goal is good. Your intent is good. But the fact remains, some circles, I'm not talking about being cruel, some circles you just have to break. There were friends that I had before I met the Lord that I still love them. But I'll be honest with you, we don't have anything in common anymore. Their goals are different than my goals. My goal in life is not to see how much money you can make and how many things you can accumulate. My goal is not to go out all week long and work and then have a big party all weekend long. That's not my goal. My goal is I live for service to come, for church to come, from one service to the next. Because you know what I found out? Doesn't matter what I face. If I get in one old-fashioned service with the people of God, where the Holy Ghost is stirring and touching our hearts and binding us together in love and unity, it doesn't matter. It seems like everything else in the world that's going on has left us when we reach that place. There is a cost of discipleship. And you can't play games with God about it. You have to pay the price. We probably lose more people in this church over any other issue. Because most people are used to going to churches where the preachers say, "Oh, that's okay. I understand. Go ahead and lay out a church all you want to." Sure, people's busy. God knows you got to cut your grass. That's why He gave you 6 other days to do it. God knows you're broke. That's why you're broke. The truth of the matter is, when you start saying we're trying to set an example by our life for others to follow, people aren't used to that because Christianity is all about convenience today. Let's make it as comfortable and as convenient as possible. But you show me where Jesus had a comfortable or a convenient life. It didn't happen. That I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. Not only the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. So for me to stand here today and tell you, will it cost you anything to get saved? Absolutely not. But as you serve the Lord, you will pay a price. That's why probably that song, King Jesus, some of you probably say, it's just a song. You let enough people lie on you, leave you and deceive you. You let enough people turn their back on you. You get your back against the wall and you understand all I've got is King Jesus. Oh, glory. I'm about to get 3 sheets in the Holy Ghost this morning. And it is all right as long as you've got Him. Will you pay something? Yes. But will it be worth it? Absolutely. No regrets. No regrets. Everything you do for Him, He sees and He loves and He rewards.